series as we've been looking at the Psalms, as we focus on some of what I like to call the Psalms of Strength. And we've been studying some of these Psalms that deal with God as our rock, as we often sing about in the hymns too. God our refuge and fortress of strength. And what it means to find our refuge in God alone. And we've seen God in uncertain times, Psalm 34. God is our refuge of truth and through worship and fellowship, Psalm 12 and 84 respectively. And last Sunday, the power of praise. We find God to be our refuge in Psalm 9. Well, the Psalm we're studying today specifically talks about looking to God as a refuge, resting under the shadow of God's wing. We'll talk about that. Much like, you know, in the book of Ruth, it pictures God covering us with His wings. And we see David, of course, is the author of this Psalm, as he has many of them. And we're given the context there at the top of the Psalm in your Bible there. Throughout Psalm 57, David is showing us how he turned to God to be his refuge. Not a particular cave or place, though he was there. That wasn't the refuge, but God was. And what this all involved, he shows us here what it means to turn to God as refuge and why he knew he could trust in God that way. So David practically shows us as believers in this psalm how he turns to God through prayer and seeking God for his mercy. And then what does this look like in our everyday walk with God and prayer with God? So David practically is going to show us how through continual faith fueled by prayer and praise to God, glorifying God, and repeating that process as we continue to trust Him, our strength in God as a refuge and fortress that will grow. And even when the enemies are around us and the trials, as they were for David, the temptations, they don't go away often right away. We don't see things change. The circumstances are the same. We grow to see them differently. And our faith and our resolve, as we see with David in this psalm, to honor God, to live faithfully for God and glorify Him, will grow. Yes, this is a psalm, as one man says, that shows us how to honor God, how to be faithful to God, how God strengthens us to glorify Him. And even when the trials of life will remain, and even as we could continue to struggle with worrying about that particular trial and how it's all going to work out, we can still walk in faith and faithfulness and honor God. Someone said, how do we glorify God, really seek to honor God, we see in this psalm? And how do we grow to be committed to the Lord when we can easily look around at our problems, right? And here, as one man said, a psalm at the top that, if you notice there, it says it's to be sung to the tune of Do Not Destroy, you know. And as one man said, this may mean, that little note at the top of the psalm, that's the tune, probably is it was to be of a kind of a solemn mood, right? It's sort of a serious mood when it was sung. That tune, that's probably could be what it means, do not destroy. It seems, as some commentators have thought about this as you read about it, that it refers to the context, though. And I can see this as we note the context of David, who is running from King Saul. And David had leaned on God's mercies. He was learning to ask God, as we see at the start of the psalm, for His mercy. And he was seeking God that he would not be destroyed in this moment, right? That he would find refuge in God, in His steadfast love and truth that God sent down to him in special doses. That love and truth that's higher than the heavens, David goes on to say. That's God's love and truth. And it may be, too, that do not destroy, what the tune was, whatever to sing it to, refers to the times where it would have been easy, if you know the story of David, for him to take Saul's life. For David to destroy Saul. David to take advantage of that situation. And we know, of course, David didn't do that. Some think the deliverance here for David was first to be saved from Saul, and then that God, to be saved from what Saul could do to him, right? But then to be saved from what he could do to Saul. He had to be delivered from what he could fall into. That's what David is praying about as well, that he'll be faithful to God, even in the trials and the pressure where he could give in to doing things his own way. And as you know the story with David, he wouldn't lift his hand against the Lord's anointed, against King Saul. So as we start looking at Psalm 57, it will show us how to honor God, how to look to God so he strengthens us to be our refuge, that as we know his steadfast love and truth more and more, that God sends us, we're not destroyed, right? But it also empowers us to be faithful, to not destroy others, to live the way God calls us to when it's difficult, when the pressures are there, like they were for David. It's a psalm about God strengthening us, protecting us, not just so we're insulated or isolated as believers in this world from the world around us or other people, but so that we can live confidently in the way God calls us to in this world of pressure and live faithfully, live with steadfastness, live in a way that pleases God more and more, so that we'll be those full of His joy, full of His presence, praising Him, full of strength in the Lord. And this is where the psalm moves to, as we're just kind of overviewing it, to the end. David starts out seeking for mercy, did you notice? To deal with his enemies, being reminded of God's purposes in that the Lord will fulfill his purposes for David. He will be king in the big picture of things. And David realizes God will take care of him in this prayer and praising God. God will cause them to fall into their own traps, the enemies of David. David doesn't have to take matters into his own hand. David doesn't have to do things his own way. He can trust God to be his refuge, just as we can rest in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty and walk in steadfastness and faithfulness. But that doesn't mean, of course, as we said, going into hiding, right? Living in denial about the world, avoiding any contact with the lost around us in the world. No, David, through prayer, looking to God to hide, to find strength, wants God to be glorified. You see what he says there? He wants him exalted. God, may you be glorified in all the earth. But he's saying, too, in all that I'm going to do, in all my situation now. And he is resolved in this to praise God. That's where the psalm goes. We'll look at this more later. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. And David is refreshed, do you see this, as he goes through the process of prayer and praising God. Refreshed as he awakes, ready to rejoice about God, to praise God and let his glory be known. He's saying, as he's there in a cave, where he writes this psalm, more than likely, he wants the glory of God known all over the world to spread out to everyone that David could impact. See, the love and truth God sends to David changes him. David knows God's love and truth sent to him from heaven is an everlasting love and righteousness stretching beyond the highest heavens. And as he prays and goes through this process we're going to talk about, he comes to that conclusion by the end of the psalm, as he often does in the psalms. So why shouldn't that love and truth, he's saying, why shouldn't it go out beyond me? People need to know. So having found God as refuge, David has every reason to reach out, to reflect God's great glory and who God is in his life. This is what David wants. So when believers learn to really turn to God as a refuge regularly through prayer daily, we find his strength, and that strength changes us. It causes us to have a growing joy and strength and steadfastness and a desire then to express who God is. So strength, as we look to God in refuge and prayer, leads to steadfastness. Now, many people think this could have been a prayer, right? Here where David started out at night, it was a prayer for sure, but a prayer where at nighttime, he's in this cave, he starts it out at night, he realizes the enemies are around him, outside of where he's hiding. And again, David wasn't ultimately hiding in a cave, though yes, he was hiding in a cave, but he knew where his real protection was in the Lord. He's hiding in God. That's what the psalm's about. And because of this, David woke up the next morning, a lot of people think, with joy. He's full of resolve. It's like David, the psalm almost pictures him waking up the dawn, not the other way around. Now, of course, we know that's not true, but it's a picture, right, of the joy there. Now, the background of Psalm 57, as it tells us there in your Bible at the top, comes out of 1 Samuel 22, ultimately, most people believe, where we read. Saul is king, just to summarize, but God has anointed David to be king before. As Saul, remember in the story, he's turned away from the Lord. He's, in many ways, he's seeking to do things his own way, in his own strength, by his own means. And David is king, anointed by God in waiting, but he's not there yet as king. But David has fought Goliath, remember, he's beat him. And the ladies have come back, remember the story, singing about the tens of thousands David killed, right, versus Saul's amount. And David has left with Goliath's sword. Remember, we won't look at all of this, but that's in Psalm 34 we looked at a while back, and Psalm 56, the psalm right before this one. And he's gone to Gath, right, where the Philistines are, and then he's ran from there, from King Achish in Gath, and he's in these caves. And scholars debate which cave he's in, but I do think it's Adullam there. And so the context is David, a fugitive of grace, as one man says, God's true king, but living on the run, hiding in a cave with enemies surrounding him, but God is there with him. So even in this cave, David could lie down and he could rest because he had learned to trust in God. In all the events that would transpire in 1 Samuel, David could trust in God. He could seek, he could look to God to handle things the right way, to be steadfast and faithful. He could be steadfast, and we can too, because God is always steadfast and faithful. This is probably the meaning of that little note at the top, Midcam. There's debate over it a bit, but it probably, I think it refers to God's providence here in circumstances that there are lessons from God working through the trials and the different things of life, the situations, so that in that we really learn to trust the Lord. And it seems to fit the context and content of Psalm 57. Where does the resolve to live more faithfully for the Lord, even when it's hard, come from? Well, of course, that steadfastness, it is not an accidental thing for us as Christians, okay? It's through a process of prayer to God, like we see in the Psalms, a process of seeking God regularly where we refocus on His character, His glory, His great plans, and how those impact our lives. And through this, we praise God, and then we focus on the Lord even greater and even more. And I've heard of Christians having, you know, physical places where they meet the Lord, and they look to Him, and that can be a good thing. I always like the story, true story of the CEO of Hobby Lobby years ago in America, this corporation, and in the trials many years ago, they almost went bankrupt, I think a couple times, but he was a Christian, and he would get under his desk, you know, and he would seek God there and all of that. And he found God would meet him there. And that can be fine. But, you know, there's no magical pill or place where we find God in that way. But it's about keeping drawing near to God, right? Keep seeking His mercies daily. And it's through, we see in this psalm, the emotional ups and downs when we struggle. And we don't always feel like God's close to us, or we're not sure what God is doing in those things. And we see that even in this psalm, right? When we feel like sometimes we're not trusting God, we're looking more at the circumstances, we're looking more at our enemies, right? And we see David going through that a bit in this psalm, right? But as we continue to pray and praise God, we find strength in Him. And our attitude, our perspective changes, just like it does with David in this psalm. It's a bit like, you know, as they say, when pilots are flying, right? They can get very focused on their emotions, what they feel, what they see in the clouds, what's around them. And they can't do that. But that's a hard thing to do, right? But the strength comes, I would imagine, I've never flown, that when that pilot is really comfortable trusting the instrument panel, right? Understanding the working of what that means, and consistently the pilot has learned to depend on that reality of what the instrument panel says, not what he feels and what he sees or she does in the clouds around them, right? As they consistently do that, it builds confidence. It builds strength. And the same is true in a greater way with prayer, right? Spiritually, and God's Word. As we seek God day in, day out, trusting His promises, praying based on those, we're not going to always feel that confidence in God, that, you know, the idea that God is with us, right? But we continue to look to Him. We continue to praise Him and pray to Him, and we find that strength. We keep turning to Him. We keep asking the Lord to help us in what we're going through, and we'll find He'll continue to strengthen us and uphold us. And Psalm 57, though it's a shorter kind of psalm, it shows us the way the Christian life often can seem, right? Or feel, right? Like a roller coaster, right? But there is a pattern here you can clearly see. If you look, yes, David seeks God, right? He starts there in verse 1, talks about God fulfilling His purposes, but then he's feeling the pressures of the enemies around him again, and he shows us he's still struggling with it, right? The vulnerability. That's the Christian life. But notice the pattern as we begin to apply this psalm. David starts with prayer to God, asking for His mercies. Then he reflects on his confidence in God's plans, right? Then he's talking about his enemies and how they're breathing down his neck. His soul is among the lions, their teeth like spears and arrows, their tongue a sharp sword. But then he exalts God in that, right? He praises God. He remembers God shows mercy, sends His love and faithfulness. He wants God to be honored in his life. But notice then, David flips the pattern from verse 6. He's talking about his enemies again, right? But how is he saying it now? This time, he's saying God will cause them to slip into their own nets. Praise and prayer has changed David. In looking to God as refuge, he believes God will be with him. He doesn't have to do things his own way. God's going to make them fall into their own nets, right? Their own traps. God will send His faithfulness and truth. And now he's focused in confidence more on God. But this time, he's praising God as he prays. He's waking up with joy. He's reminded his heart is steadfast. His heart is steadfast. So he started praying to God for mercy at the start of the psalm. But now he's praising God at the end of it as he prays to God for God's mercies, wanting this truth and love that God has sent to David, helping him. He wants that truth and love that stretches beyond the heavens to go out, you know, to spread out. And he's just now woken up. He's not even out of the cave yet. All of this comes in the refrains, as some people will divide Psalm 57 that way. The repetition of praise. The two refrains, verse 5 and 11. Be exalted, O God, he says, in my life. And then at the end, be exalted, O God, throughout all the earth. And James Boyce says the second time around, the three things are raised a notch or two higher, and the tone of the psalm becomes gloriously more strong and confident, all because David is focusing on God as his refuge, not his problems. So let's look at this in some applications here. We think about this. Verse 1, what'll help us? Number 1, verse 1, we've got to come to God. Request God in prayer. Here's honesty, right? Pouring out your heart. That's where David starts. The first step towards steadfastness through prayer and praise in verse 1. Here is, they're on the outline there. The first principle about God's steadfastness that encourages us, it should, to trust God more as our refuge and strength and grow in faithfulness ourselves is here. We request God in prayer. It's where David starts. And he begins with honesty, with coming to the Lord as he's there in that cave, pouring out his heart to God in honesty, asking God to help him based on God's mercies. David remembers that God is his refuge, not the cave, ultimately, though, yeah, God may have used that, but it's not the place where he's hiding. God's his refuge. Wearsby said he has sought God many times before, and he knows God is faithful. So God is actually referred to, you realize in this little psalm, God's referred to 21 times by noun, pronoun, or by some sort of a phrase. just here. So David seeks God, knowing that though he has to be in this cave, right? He's at the cave, in this cave in the point. He knows enemies are coming in on him, surrounding the area. And he knows how much he needs God's mercies. He needs God to be his refuge and to help him. And so he requests mercy. As one man says, the grace he asks for here is not the grace like Psalm 51, which we do ask, which is the forgiveness of our sins. No, this is trouble. This is the mercy of God helping him, right? He needs God to help him, to be his refuge. And David, from deep within, he calls out to God, feeling the pressures coming around him. He feels the enemies who are like lions wanting to devour him. And he calls out to God. So as one man said, this is not so much a prayer, please forgive me, Lord, but please get me out of this. Please help. So as one man said, the cave might provide some temporary security, but his ultimate refuge is in God. And God is likened to a bird, a mother bird, looking over their chicks, protecting them with their wings. Ash said, David urgently turns his heart to God. He is in a cave for safety, but it is to God, my God. It's the covenant name of God here, Yahweh. It's to God that he turns to for refuge, especially to be under the shadow of the Almighty's wings. And there's two different ideas that really people will have about the shadow of God's wings in this. Two main options. Number one, it could certainly be, and I'd lean this way a bit, an allusion to the wings of the cherubim, right? Over the Ark of the Covenant, which would stand, if you know your Old Testament, for the safety of God's mercies and grace, that God is faithful to his covenant. Boy said, if this is what it means, then David is saying he is secure almost as if he were in the holy place himself. Number two, it could refer, and maybe it's a combination, it could refer to God himself as the wings. David hiding under the shadow of God's wings, under God himself, his presence with him. Like a bird, an analogy, is safe under the cover of the wings of its mother. Exodus 19:4, God had said when he took him out of Egypt, right in the Exodus, he said, I carried you on wings like eagles. I brought you to myself. Psalm 91, God says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge. So when you think about David asking for God's mercy here, requesting that in prayer to start in verse 1, the allusion here to the cherubim, you can think of it in that picture in the Old Testament. The cherubim were there on the Ark of the Covenant, and they'd be looking down towards what was called the mercy seat, where they put the blood from the sacrifices that stood for God's mercy and his forgiveness, which we know as Christians points us to Christ who died on the cross for us. And that idea fits nicely, as David would have been reminded there in that cave of God's great mercies that God gives through sacrifices, that he knew God would meet him there. He would show mercy. Wiersbe again said, David's prayer turned the cave into the Holy of Holies, where he could hide under the wings of the cherubim of the mercy seat of the ark. And even though David is in this cave, far from the temple, he is seeking God's mercies there in the cave. He knows because of God's grace and provision, he can find God to be his refuge. So don't forget, David's first step to steadfastness, I think we see here in God's steadfastness, is to seek after God's mercy. Pouring out his heart, starting there, trusting God deeply because God is merciful, asking for God to show mercy. He says it twice. He asks, mercy, O God, show me mercy. Be my refuge in this trial of life. And how we find that? Yes, we know God forgives us of our sins. Yes, that is true. But if you're a Christian, or if you wonder about Christianity, you know God gives us mercies in our lives to help us as well. When we know the Lord, he will meet us in the enemies and the trials of life, the struggles, when we call out to him. He may not change the circumstances, but he will meet us there to uphold us. If you're, you know, facing a difficult trial or loss, right? And I immediately said to you, hey, well, don't worry about the other thing. Your sins are forgiven. Well, of course, that's the most important thing, that your sins are forgiven. But you might wonder, maybe especially if you're thinking about Christianity, well, is there any help in what I'm going through? Well, yes, you trust in Christ. He forgives you. That's the most important thing. But he also gives help to those that know him. and trust in Him. There is a God that brings comfort and strength to His true children and through the Spirit as we trust in Him. Number two thing here is remember God's plan. Look at 2-4. Remember God's plan and ultimately the big picture of salvation. And here we see hope in 2-4. Here we see patience and clinging to God. We remember God's plan. The second step towards steadfastness, growing in faithfulness through prayer and praise, as we know God's steadfastness, is in 2-4. Remember God and His plan. So we've got, this relates to our hope, to our patience. And so we request in prayer, but then we remember the plan. And look in verse 2, he says, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. That's key there. He shall send from heaven and save me. Now, God Most High, actually the first time in the Bible that phrase is used was with Melchizedek, the king of Salem, when Abraham met him in the book of Genesis. And we won't get into all of that, but Abraham had been in war, right? And then he comes and he meets the king. And is the idea of God delivering us from enemies, but then enemies get delivered to us. And like we said earlier, how are we going to handle what we deal with there? How are we going to live the way God calls us to when it's not easy? So David is facing enemies who could physically harm him, yes, but they were also hurting him with their words and their attack. Verse 4, their teeth are like arrows and spears. And David is asking God, God Most High, help me to be faithful in this. For one thing, deliver me, yes, physically, but deliver me to do your will and to be king and to live in what you've called me to. David is crying out for the Lord to help him in these pressures to be steadfast. And at this stage, he is recalling the clear plan of God's salvation for his people. The big picture. David is remembering God is always steadfast. God is faithful. God is with me through all of these things, and God will ultimately deliver me. Because the Lord is the one who, what does he say? Fulfills all of his promises. So, in a way, David is praying, but then also trusting God's promises. He's focusing on the big picture of God's plan of salvation. David cries out, but then he recalls, I know, God, you fulfill your purposes for me. Your plan in the long run, I know you're going to do that. You're going to take me all the way to the end. Like we know in Philippians with Christians, that God, he begins that good work and he's going to bring it to completion. And so, I know you're going to do that. You're faithful, Lord. And this is who you are, faithful and true. As Paul says, God is true. Let every man be a liar. And so, I'm asking you, Lord, David says, send that truth, send that grace, and that kindness and that truth, that steadfast love and truth into my situation now. David asked for mercy, the steadfast kindness of God, to come into his heart, into his mind right then. For him to live based on God's truth and God's faithfulness, for that to be at work in the situation he's facing. To be reminded of it and to be strengthened for it. David asked for it and David looks to God to do it. It seems he believes it. May said, God will send his steadfast love, his faithfulness, like agents of a king to do his will. Special agents from God, right? To carry out his will and on behalf of his people. And David, trust heavenly reality, one man says, will impact his earthly pressures. And that's the idea. David is in a low place in a cave with few friends, especially at this point. But he believes he's got help in high places with God. David believes God will send his faithful love, his truth, in a fresh supply as David looks to him for refuge as he faces this current trial. We know for us as Christians, Jesus Christ fulfills that idea of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, Jesus came to bring and to be grace and truth. So David is looking at the big picture. He's remembering the plan of God as he prays. And as one man said, he knows God fulfills the big picture, the long run, all that God promises for his life. And he's saying, I may not be king yet, but I know what God has said. I know what his word says. I know his hand is on me, and I know he's not going to leave me now. As we said, Philippians 1:6 says that God who begins the good work in us, He will bring it to completion for us as Christians on the day of Christ Jesus. Does it always feel that way? No, it doesn't, right? It's not always easy to trust the Lord, is it? Does this mean that we never struggle with sin as Christians? Of course we struggle, right? Does it mean that we're never going to see the world around us going against the things of God? Well, we just want to give up, wouldn't we, right? Of course we're going to see that. Psalm 57 is not a one-way ticket into just a life of triumph and no problems, right? But we have confidence in God, that God is good as we pray to Him and praise Him, that God is wise, and He loves us if we're in Christ. And when we trust in Jesus alone to save us, we know, as God says in His Word, He will never leave us alone. He will never forsake us. He will fulfill His promises for you and I if we trust in Christ. So what does it mean to remember His plan? To look to Him as our refuge. It means to trust in His salvation over the long run. To lean on Him for mercy and truth. And that's how God enables us to remain faithful. It means we pray as Christians, don't we? And we go through these times, even when we feel like we're talking to the wall sometimes. And we can go through those times. But we keep praying, right? We know what God says. We know who God is. And we continue to look to Him. We continue to look to His Word to correct us and teach us. It means we believe that by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of our sinfulness. And so we keep fighting, even as we struggle. And it feels like we're making little progress. Because when our feelings are telling us, well, God's not with you anymore, He's forsaken you, you know your feelings are lying. It's not true if you're a believer. So we remember God's plan as we cry out to Him, looking to His truth, asking for His faithfulness, knowing that all other things in the world around us that are constantly trying to say, hey, go, trust in me, trust in this, all those things fall through. Only God can ultimately be a true refuge. God's Word tells us the Lord sends for His people truth and grace, steadfast love and righteousness and truth to us. And all the other things of this world are false. They'll cave in eventually. They won't last. But Christ has given us truth and grace in the ultimate way so we can look to the Lord. Number three thing here is we see refocus on God's purpose. Look at the path that David is reminded of to glorify God, to honor God. He wants God's glory to shine through in verse 5 in his life. This third step towards steadfastness through prayer and praise is we refocus on God's purpose as we praise God, as we seek God in prayer. That, as David says, I want your glory shining all over the earth, but I want your glory to be shining through my situation, is what he's saying. I want your name to shine through me more and more, Lord. That's the path here, that you'll be glorified, God, in my life. And so he requests in prayer, he remembers God's plan, and he refocuses on God's purpose. And here we see the first refrain there in verse 5 that he comes back to. There's two of them, right? Verse 5 and 11. David seeks God. He reflects on his relationship with God. He thinks about his enemies. And now he refocuses on God being glorified, exalted in all the earth, but in his life. Boy said, David wants God to be exalted in his own circumstances now by the way he's trusting the Lord and the way he's praising God even in his difficulties. And if we're Christians, we want that as well, don't we? David is praying, Lord, remind me of your purpose in this trial. May you be exalted in this situation. Help me to stay focused on your will. Help me to walk in faithfulness. And in this, David is confident his enemies are going to fall into the trap. They're going to fall into the traps they've set for me themselves. And David looks forward with faith, knowing God will be exalted. He's anticipating what God will do in the future, not so much looking back on what God has done in verse 5. And now David sees the situation with new eyes. You see that? Yes, they are preparing the net, but God's got a bigger plan. God wants me to glorify Him. God's going to take care of me. This is about what God is doing, and I can trust Him to take care of me. I don't have to take matters in my own hand.
They're going to fall into their own traps. Yes, I can be wise and as I walk with the Lord, of course, and have wisdom. But I can trust God.
And he sees this again as he prays and praises God. And that leads us to number four. And that's repeat with perseverance. Look at 7-8. The confidence we have in the Lord as we praise God. The fourth step towards steadfastness in prayer is in 7-8. That we repeat the process of prayer with perseverance. And here we see David, as the psalm goes towards the end, continually praising God, being reminded of his confidence in God. Ash said the confidence in verse 6b spills over into his exultant response, believing God's promises. He's trusting the unseen reality of God, he says, and his heart is steadfast in it. His mouth sings joyfully. He seems to wake up the dawn with his song. So the point in this is there is a process as we grow in strength through prayer of the Lord that we repeat. We feel the struggles. Yes, we pray. We feel the struggles. We trust the promises of God. We pray and seek God. We continue to praise God. And yet we're going to still look back at the enemies and see the circumstances and need to keep doing the whole thing again, right? And we've seen it already. David prays. He trusts. But he still thinks about the problems. And then he exalts God and he sees the problem differently with confidence. And from this, he continues to praise God. But by the end of the psalm, it's with an even greater resolve. As David cries, he cries out. He's not saying, well, the circumstances are different. What does he say? My heart is steadfast, O God. Again, my heart is steadfast. I will, regardless of the situation, praise and sing to you, O Lord. At the heart of being steadfast, living for Christ in faithfulness under the pressures and trials of this world is a matter of the heart, which God alone, as we seek Him as refuge, can strengthen. So while we hide in Him, yes, we find Him as our refuge. Maybe a better way to see it is that He hides in us. He lives in us. And He does this as we turn to Him and His Word, yes. But as we pray and we praise and we continue, even through the roller coaster, right? To continue to look to Him and remain in Him. What did Jesus say? He said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I love the story of this pastor. He took his kids to pray, right? And took the missionary photos off the fridge and he passed them out to the kids. I think it's a true story. And they're going through these names of missionaries. And one of his sons mentioned one of the names. And he's praying and he said, God, I pray that you will help them cling to Christ. And that pastor that was writing about this said it was so powerful to him when he heard his kid praying that they would cling to Christ. And how we all need that, don't we, to cling to Him. It's what this psalm is teaching us in prayer, where we find Him to be our refuge. You see the repetition from verse 1. Did you notice that throughout the psalm there's repetition? Verse 1, mercy. Show me mercy, God. Mercy from God. He says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful. You see the repetition. See, our heart grows in strength and we in steadfastness as we depend on God's mercies in everyday life. So we need to remember to call out to God for grace every day, our daily bread, for forgiveness from sin, from temptation, protection, every day. And how about the means from God? Not only mercy from God, but means from God. He shall send from heaven and save me. And did you notice David's own repeat here? He says it again. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. It's making a point. As one man said, we need to believe God answers when we call. No prayer for mercy from God goes unheeded. God sends His kindness. He sends His truth. And we know that truth is ultimately in Jesus Christ. The one who came in perfect love and faithfulness in fullness. And we're joined to that King. If you look to Jesus and you trust in Him, you're joined to that King who's brought truth and kindness. So we cling to the King consistently. What about motivation there, verse 7, if we're just backtracking on this point?
You see the repetition where we're looking at right here. My heart is steadfast. Again, he says, my heart is steadfast, O Lord. It reminds us the Christian life is, it's not one giant thing of, well, I seek God's mercy and then I just move on. It is a daily trusting and seeking as we grow to know and love and worship the great God who we grow to know will not let us go. And in a way, this is really a prayer to God when he says this, as he's trusting God. God, help me to cling to the Lord. Help me to cling to you, to Christ, we'd say today, and for what I need. Help me to be able to say, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. It's a prayer. And we pray for tomorrow and the next day. McLaren said, I must have a continuous realization of my dependence on the Lord and God's sweet sufficiency going with me all through the difficulties of the days. Are we looking to Him? Are we repeating the process of prayer and praise? And look at where the psalm closes briefly as we finish. Reverberate, reflect, if you will, with praise. The contagiousness of this, as the psalm ends in verse 9 to 11, the final step of steadfastness through prayer and praise, where we find God to be steadfast, to be our strength and refuge, is here. And David began with prayer for mercy from God, thinks on his relationship with God again, right? Thinks about his enemies again, exalts God, verse 5, the first refrain, thinks about God, how he'll defeat them, right? But then David reflects with praise on his relationship with God, repeating the process. And by the end of the psalm, David is praying to God again. Yes, you could say he's back where he was in verse 1, praying again. But really, what is he doing? His whole mindset's changed in a way. Not his circumstances, but now as he prays to God, he's praising God. And he wants others to praise God. He wants that praise reverberated out through him and through other ones that look to God. And he wants the knowledge of God's faithfulness that God has given to him in doses that extends beyond the heavens to go out beyond that cave, beyond that nation, out into the whole earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And of course, we know this has been fulfilled in Christ, ultimately, as he's come and died and risen. And it's being fulfilled also, understand, as the gospel goes out through Christians today, this good news of God and of the Savior. And that's why, where we as Christians, we fit into it. Because, you know, actually Romans 15, we looked at a while back, Paul quotes Psalm 57:9 here, talking about the gospel going out as God is glorified, his name going out throughout all the nations and the world. So our strength as we close, folks, it's in God's faithfulness. He never fails. Part of our job is to look to Him, continue to look to Him, and to let others know about Him, right? To tell the world about it. For God to use us as we continue to look to Him and trust Him. Boyce said, the goal of history is God might be known as God in Christ and be honored for it. And nothing, Boyce says, will frustrate that purpose of Almighty God. So let's look to our great God as we close, that we'll find Him as our strength and refuge, to live in faithfulness with Him as He is faithful. So let's turn to our great God now. Gracious Lord, we come before You today and we ask for Your grace. Lord, as we live in a world of trials and difficulties, Lord, and pressures and enemies, Lord, but remind us that You are a God who is all powerful, and You are a God who is all knowing, and You are a God who is present with those who trust in You. That when we have trusted in Christ, Lord, we know You live in us through the Holy Spirit, and You promise to be our refuge, Lord, as we continue to rely on You and look to Your Word, and as we seek You and we praise You, Lord. And You know, Lord, that we'll struggle through our ups and downs. It'll feel like a roller coaster at times. We will seem to get more focused on our feelings and our circumstances than You, Lord, but we know You're faithful, so help us to continue to cling to You and help us, Lord, to continue to live for You and, Lord, to praise You, not only in worship, Lord, but in our witness and, Lord, in what we tell others about You. And, Lord, remind us that You are faithful and You will help us to be faithful and, Lord, to live in a way that pleases You, even when it's difficult, Lord. Give us that strength, Lord. Continue to build us up in our strength in You. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's mighty and powerful name.
Amen.